If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn over to Romans in chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. This is a very important message today for everyone. Everyone that has ever been faced with a mountain that you thought was too big to climb, a valley that was too deep for you to get through, a river that was rushing so fast that there's no way you could have swum across, an ocean too wide, too long, that there's no way you could get to the other side. This message deals with hope that you have to be successful, but you're never going to be successful because you're trying to reason out success in your own mind. In other words, you need to take your hope and believe hope. You need to believe what God is saying and not what your mind wants you to reason out. This could never be. This can never happen. Read along with me today, starting with verse 13, Romans chapter 4. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he was figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Father, I thank you today. I ask you right now to just speak through me. Use me mightily today. I believe, God, you have a word for all of us. An encouraging word. A word that will draw us closer to you. And that we can take our hope that we have, that we reason, and put our hope in you. Because, God, you can accomplish anything. And if you made the promise and if you spoke the promise, then we believe the promise. We ask this today for ears to hear, for an anointing to be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. These statements in Scripture bring such enlightenment to us about faith and how our faith needs to be placed in God and not in human reason. And you know, I want you to know that oftentimes when you hear a promise from God, you get excited. You feel pretty good about it. But by the time you get to the back door of the church, or you get home, or you meet somebody and you tell them about the promise God just gave you, conversations start, and by the end of the conversation, or by the end of the day, or by the end of the getting to the back door of the church, or by stepping away from the altar just for a moment, you begin to reason out, this could never happen. I heard that on my own. There was no promise there. That wasn't for me. Maybe the individual that spoke that promise into my life was saying that promise to everybody. In other words, we begin to reason things out. Such as if we look at something here too, and when two people get together for the first time and they begin to fall in love, they begin to question whether or not this person really does love me, or will we be compatible? These questions show up. When you go on a new job, you wonder, will I fit in? Can I process everything they've asked me to process in the time that I'm supposed to process it? They've given me an important job, but am I really able to do this? Is this temporary? These things happen. Our human mind works like that. We begin to reason things to our almost, we analyze them to a place to where we lose value on what's really happening in our life. Are you with me? This is a natural flow that goes on. But when God speaks to our life, or we read the Word, and the Word speaks to us, we have one of those moments where you read something in the Word and you know God just spoke to you. And you go, that was for me. That was great. I remember when Kathy and I just got saved, and she got saved before I did. And we were in Corralitos, California. And we were just trying to figure out what to do with our life together. We're sitting on the couch there, and we began to pray, and we began to read the Word together. And all of a sudden, the Word of God spoke to us, and it gave us the answer we were looking for. And we were able to make a decision, and that decision was clear to us. And we went forward on what God spoke to us to do, and we found success. But we could reason things away. We can reason things away that God spoke. But when He speaks to you, whether through a prophetic message, whether through a word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, or through a prayer meeting and somebody gives you a specific word that God spoke to them to give you, and you embrace it and take it, begin to put your faith in God. And we're going to get into some things just in a moment, and I'm going to preach in just a moment. But what I'm saying to you is that oftentimes we just place God aside because our reason seems to be right and God's is wrong. You know, it's amazing to me what Abraham was told would happen in his life. It's amazing to me that he was told at such an age that he was going to have a son. His wife was going to conceive, and she was going to bear a son. And that he would be the father of so many people, so many descendants, that you, the stars, like you can't count them, you're not going to be able to count how many descendants. And like the sands at the seashore, you're not going to be able to count them, just like you can't count how many descendants you're going to have. I want you to think about that for a moment. This isn't just a Bible story. I want you to think about how big that promise was. And today, in this modern day, when a promise is given to somebody that's that big, no one believes them. No, this can never happen. You didn't hear something. You're wrong there. You know, this could never happen. Maybe half as big. No, this could never happen. Maybe 1/6 as big. No, this could never happen. Maybe a 0.1 is big. No, this could happen. Maybe a 0.00000001. This could never happen. No, that could never happen. But what we have to do is we have to stop discounting God, and we need to embrace only God's abilities, not our own. Amen. We don't have the abilities to do what God asks us to do. We don't have the abilities to fulfill a promise that God gives us. We need to put our abilities in God. We need to have faith in God. We need to trust God. We need to believe God in everything. We give thanks to the Lord our God. If He speaks it, I believe it.
Amen.
If it's in the Word, I believe it. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody gives you a promise and they say God gave that promise to them to give to you and it doesn't line up with the Word, toss that promise out.
That's right.
Yep. Everything has to line up with the Word of God for it to be the Lord.
Amen.
Everything does. And it's important that you understand that. You know, the scripture in verse 18, grammatically, this is known as an oxymoron. Let me read it to you. Even when there is no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. It's an oxymoron there. In other words, it's a figure of speech in which contradictory ideas are combined. Example, thundering silence. Sweet sorrow. These are oxymorons that people will say, and you have to be able to understand that it doesn't work that way. Plastic silverware. Just so you can grab a hold of that, you know. And these oxymorons are spoken all the time. You can go through a list of them. Abraham, against hope or beyond hope, nevertheless believed in hope. He believed in the hope that God gives us. Hope is great expectancy. Having an expectation that it's going to happen. You know, Abraham got that promise and it didn't happen for 25 years. You better believe, man, 25 years later. You know, we live in a modern world. You know, we live in a, put it in the microwave in 30 seconds, you got dinner. What's for dinner tonight, honey? I don't know. Go to the freezer and see. Well, we got to be at church in 20 minutes. Go to the freezer and get it out and put it in the microwave. It'll be done in 5. We live in a world that when drive-through, we get our lunch, our dinner, and our breakfast. We live in a world that everything is so rapid and so quick and so instant. We don't brew our tea. We have instant tea. Those are just some of the examples that go we have in life, that we live so in such a rapid-paced world that we are so caught up in it that when a promise comes, we expect by the time we get from the altar or the prayer closet to the back door of the church, it's fulfilled.
Yep. No, that
25 years. I just want to tell you that the Israelites were under the taskmaster's whip in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years. God said to Moses, tell my people I've heard their prayer. I always look at that and think, weren't you listening for 399 years? I know better, but I think that sometimes. He said, I've heard their prayer. There is a, can I say this? Please write this down if you don't want to write it down. Just get it and get it in your spirit. There's a now time for God. You got to believe in the now time for God in your life. And there's a no time, and there's a no time in the now time. But believe in the now time. The no time is where you say, I don't have any time to wait on this. But believe in the now time for God in your life, that God is going to do something so powerful that when the promise was given to Abraham would become the father of many nations, there was no human ground for hope there. How am I going to do this? I'm his dad and my wife can't bear children. How's this going to happen? He never questioned it in that area. I'm going to share with you in just a moment in Genesis 17 and 17, when he fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? When you look at the word laughed, it was a marvel. It wasn't a laughing, this could never happen. It was a laughter of joy that it was going to happen. He was, okay, here I go. I'm going to bring him into California in a minute. He was stoked. This is great. This is going to happen. This is beautiful. Abraham believed God in spite of the circumstances. Let me tell you, that word circumstances gets in our way. Circumstances will always get in our way. I tell you, I heard a preacher preach this way. Learn to live above your circumstances, not underneath your circumstances. You can control your situations by faith. You don't have to have your situations control you. You can move forward in faith and not run away from faith. You see, fear draws you away from faith. Doubt declares in your mind that this could never happen. But God says it can. God can bring us into a place that we can overlook everything. He didn't get nervous. He got glad. I got text all week. I'm nervous. I text back, praise God. Trust in God. Believe his promise. The peace of God shall surpass all understanding. In other words, don't let nervousness declare to you that you'll not do good. Let faith declare to you that you're going to do great.
Amen.
That you're going to do marvelous. You're going to laugh with joy when something big is spoken into your spirit to do something. You're going to have a laughter of joy instead of like, oh my God. I better check with my guru on this one. Let me tell you something. We don't, Christian, we don't need no guru. We got Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is our friend. He's our brother. He's our master and our teacher, and he's with us all the time. We don't need to be discouraged. Somebody told me the other day they didn't do that good. They thought they were going to do better. They were discouraged. I said, did you do good enough to get through? They said, yes. I said, why are you discouraged? You got through. Let me tell you something. If you don't get through the door, get discouraged. But if you can get through the door, praise him.
Yes.
Praise him. Thank him. Praise God. God is worthy of praise, and we have to understand we don't need to be discouraged. We need to be fully persuaded in the promises of God. I'm fully persuaded that I'm saved. Praise God. I'm fully persuaded that I can preach. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm fully persuaded that this church is going to grow and grow and grow and impact thousands of people. I'm fully persuaded in that. Praise God.
Yes.
I'm fully persuaded that the work in Santa Cruz is going to explode. I'm fully persuaded that the church that I'm going to plant in Monterey is going to grow and be wonderful. I'm fully persuaded that the church in Pacific Grove that I'm going to plant after Monterey is going to grow and be there and do marvelous things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am persuaded because God has promised.
Amen.
What's God promised you? What's he said to you? And let me tell you something about the Lord. Can I tell you a little secret about the Lord real quick? Shh. You may not want to share this with everybody. I'm going to tell you a secret about the Lord. He's able.
Amen.
He is able to do all that we ask. Oh, no, he's just not able to just do all that we ask. He's exceedingly, abundantly, more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us.
Amen.
He is able.
He is.
Shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell them. Don't just, we don't want to let anybody know our hopes and dreams, you know. But he's able. You're not able, he is able.
Right.
And you're part of his plan.
Right.
You're not left out. You're not on the sidelines. You don't have a uniform. You're covered with the blood of Jesus. You're covered with the righteousness of God. You have the armor of God on. Your lips have spoken the praise and the prayer unto a holy God. He's able.
Yes.
I get texts all the time.
Lord.
Phone calls all the time. I messed up. I'm no good. I'm done. It's over. I'm in the trash can and the lid's about to be put on. I'm listening to all this, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm waiting for them to stop because I'm about to tell them something. Before you messed up, Jesus was on the cross for you. My God. Somebody better get happy in this place with me today. Before you messed up, Jesus was on the cross for you. When we were yet in darkness, he died for us. Hallelujah. Before he called you, he knew the day you were going to mess up was in the future. He didn't say give up. He didn't say give in. He didn't say give out. He said come forward and praise him. He shall lift you up out of the miry clay and put your feet upon a rock and establish your steps and put a new song in your heart.
Yes.
I sure am glad I called you, Pastor. I saw the guy throw the garbage can lid away and he's running down the street now. Don't let the devil get on you because you messed up. God knew you were going to mess up. But he also had faith that you wouldn't give up. That you wouldn't give out and give in. He knew you'd move forward. He knew you'd do that. No matter what it looks like, church, let me tell you something. If God has spoken it, it's going to come to pass. No matter what it looks like. No matter how bleak, how blurry, how bad, how discolored, how bruised, he's going to make it work. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm just your pastor. I'm a servant. I'm a towel bearer. I'm not a title wearer. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I don't even want a title. I don't want anything, but I just want to wash your feet. I want to serve you. I'm going to tell you something. I can't do the things God can do for you. I'm just honored just to bring the word to remind you that he's the one that can do it.
Amen.
I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it sure does make sense to me. So in other words, we need to stop complaining and start praising. Thank you. Two people got that. Three people. Amen. You saw that, Lord, didn't you? We have three out of the crowd today. Hallelujah. Stop complaining and start praising. We need literally, we should stop criticizing and start encouraging. I don't like the way that person does that. Why don't you start encouraging them? Why don't you listen to music when you're driving in the car? That'll help you stop complaining about people.
Hello.
You'll start maybe doing, you know, a little Kurt Franklin, man. You may get a little going with it, with the gospel. You get over there in other music. You may get a little Chris Tomlin over there and start praising like this. You know, whatever, you know, when Kurt Franklin's on, man, and you're like... You know, you're going backwards, you know, you're all over it, you know what I mean? Chris Tomlin comes on, you're just like... But whatever way, you're giving it to God, hallelujah! Amen! That was me, I have no rhythm, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can do how I learned to dance in the Church of God in Christ, because I ministered there like that. I can get all over that. And you give me an organ, I'm going to be with it. Some of you have been with me when I preach. But I'm just trying to tell you something. Stop complaining. Stop criticizing. And we should stop resonating negativity and start echoing speech that is full of the belief and faith in the living God, who calls things that are not as though they were.
Amen. Amen.
Praise His mighty name.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us what God promises, He performs. We should have holy wonder at what God has promised and turn that into holy faith for what God will do. Wonder, man. Wow, how could this ever happen? How could this ever happen? Amen. How could this be? Turn that into holy faith. Put your faith in God. There is a truth bearing down on each person who hears the promise that goes beyond human reason. A truth that when they begin to question God and begin to be divided in the thought about what God will do, having questioning faith is not having faith at all, but it is defined as human doubt. And human doubt creates human fear. And during these moments where doubt and fear tiptoe into the promise and create a blur of what God has stated, that's what happens. You understand? You get a promise and you get home and I have been preaching revivals for years. I love it. I speak into people's lives and they're like, oh, pastor, praise God. Oh, evangelist, oh, praise God. Thank you for that word. Praise God. I get a phone call the next day. What was that you spoke to me? Come on, man. Write it down. Put the phone up to my lips, whatever you got to do, but get the word and get it in you. You know what I tell them? You know what I tell them? I don't know. But I know I spoke something into your life. I mean, how do I remember 250 people I prayed for at an altar? But let me tell you something. If God put it in there, it's going to grow. Water it through prayer. If God put it in there, it's going to grow. Water it through prayer. And don't let the doubt and fear tiptoe and create a blur into your life. God will bring you into the safety of His harbor of truth and security. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Remember when I preached this, the anchor is as strong as what it is attached to. The anchor it's attached to the bottom of an ocean is as strong as the rock that it is attached to. But the anchor that we have is attached into the glory and attached to Jesus, and it'll never break. Break out, praise God. The anchor is only as strong to what it is attached to. Jesus is the anchor of our soul.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Tell the devil, get out of here.
Yes.
Well, but don't say it now. Some people may leave. Hold her down. I saw you holding her down, Dewey. I see you have it on her shoulder. Dewey put his hand right on her shoulder, right there. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Oh, Willie holding her down too. I see it, man. Oh, Willie holding her down now. There it is. Praise God. Thank you, brothers. Let me tell you, this world is full of false promises. How many's ever had a promise given you it was false? Come on. You know, I'm going to say something here, and I don't want to be personal, but I'm going to say it generally. But if it sounds like I'm saying something personal, I don't mean to. But one of the things that I take very seriously is matrimony. Because there are vows given not to me as the person performing the wedding. But those vows are given to God. And what hurts me the most, now give me a minute with this, okay? What hurts me the most when somebody gets separated after a while is because they broke a vow to God. Instead of trying to work it out, they just broke a vow to God. They just, here's the other side of that. This may go on and on. But when somebody finally meets that person that they fall in love with and they meet the right individual, that person, that spouse, that wife, that husband, when they finally meet that person and there's not even a thought of breaking that vow, there's a joy unspeakable. A joy that is cleansing. It rinses away past failures and brings a joy. Let me tell you something. I'm saying that today to you because we are the bride of Christ, and praise be His holy name. There's a joy in our life that rinses away our past failures because Jesus is our husband. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Someone shout hallelujah. Rinses away all that in the past. Gives us a future. When I got through going through all that I did in the front today, just going through in the comparisons, you know what I said at the end? I looked up to heaven. My eyes closed. I said the Lord's Prayer. And this is what I said to God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for delivering me. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be here today. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would maybe hearing the clanking of bars because of life imprisonment. I may be dead because of some violent gang-related fight. I wouldn't have the beautiful wife I have whose mother brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, my past failures have been rinsed away. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And my joys are yet ahead of me.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now take me out of it and put you there.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about what He's doing to you too. Also, everyone.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. And not only are there false promises, but there's razor sharp lies. How many's ever been lied to?
I've been lied to many times.
This world lives on lies. False promises and lies. It lives on it. That cut through faith like it was butter and dissects your dreams into minuscule thoughts that cannot be made into the story of God's destiny for your life. Those razor sharp lies and false promises just cut you up. And your dreams and your hopes just get so spread out that maybe God doesn't even exist. I'm here to tell you that God exists. You've got a destiny. You've got something that's beautiful. When you read the Word of God, you almost begin to understand what God is showing you and what He does and what He wants from you. The Word declares from the opening scripture that God created the heavens and the earth. He called light into existence. And where there was no light, he made light. Where there was emptiness, he brought fullness. Where there was no life, he brought forth life. As you move forward into Scripture, you find the justice of God. He declares the coming of the Savior in Genesis 3:15 to redeem mankind from sin. You find mankind consistently turning from God to explore the evils of the world and seeking pleasures and riches that cannot balance on the scales of blessings that God has promised. You learn of a man taking his own only promise to an altar on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him to the Lord, knowing that God will somehow bring this promise to fruition. You learn of a shepherd wanted for murder, called back to deliver a nation from the grips of Pharaoh and his enslavement in torturous ways to God's people. You read of a shepherd boy who simply believed God and became a king. You learn of a cupbearer who decided to follow God and his God-given passion and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem against all odds. You read of a Savior who walked on this earth and that was cursed to save humanity that will reject him and crucify him. These stories are vast but are full of the fact that what has been stated today, there is nothing that God cannot do and nothing that he will not do for his children that he loves. And I want to hear to tell you something. He loves you. He loves you. Don't think I'll never be. Yes, you're gonna be. Don't think I can't get there. You're on your way there. Don't think that this can never happen. It's gonna happen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You are a choice, precious child of God. And believe God, he can make it happen. He can make the desert bloom. And he can make waterless sand bring water to quench the thirst of his people. He can straighten out the crooked path and separate the waters that divide defeat from victory. He can press the walls down that separate the spoils and the defeats of the enemy. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can open up blinded eyes and bring a dance and a shout to someone stuck at the gate. He can feed thousands from a small amount of fishes and loaves. He can conquer death even after life is taken. I think if you take a moment, he can take your life and make it something great. Yeah. He loves you. If you'll just think for a moment in my closing remarks right now. What God has promised you, and just, is it too big for you to believe? Do you have to have a time this morning to realize you need against hope to believe hope? In other words, put your reason aside and believe God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. If you cannot see it, please believe that he can. If you cannot hear it, believe that he can. If you do not know what he'll do, he knows what you should do. This is a belief in his promise. He has spoken through his word into your life. Into your life. I have to read this one part again. I just love this part of the scripture in Romans 4. God gives life to the dead. As I like what Ezekiel said. God said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was wise enough to say, only thou knowest. He said, prophesy over those bones. In other words, speak my word over those bones. And when he began to speak the word over those bones began to stand up. And they rattled and they stood up. And sinew came upon them, then skin and life. And they became a mighty armor to God. When the enemy came by, it was a graveyard. But when God came by, it was an army.
Amen.
And calls things that are not, in other words, non-existing things, they're not even there, as though they were, as existing. Praise God. I want you to get that into your spirit. Realize that God is able and just for a moment Extend your hope into the heart of God Almighty. Do that. My hope is in God. A great man of God whose name I will not mention. Tremendous man of God has gone on to be with the Lord. Spiritual father of mine for just a short period of time. I was fortunate just for that short period. He loved friendship. He did something so great for me one time that I asked him, "What can I do back for you?" And he knows I have a servant's heart. I said, "What can I do back for you?" He said, "Nothing. Will you just be my friend?" And I swallowed that for a lot of time, and then I realized the depth that he had in that statement. "Will you just be my friend?" Let's not build a relationship on what we can do for one another. Let's just be friends. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "You're no longer slaves, but now you are my friend." That's when I sing that. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Then he told me something. I was walking away from him one day. And he said, "Dennis," I said, "What?" He said, "Remember this, man is not your source. God is. Man is not your source. God is." I was about to go into something that I'm still in, 15 years into the missions, into the streets where people have hopeless eyes. Their bodies are not clean. Their teeth are not there in most of their mouths. Their minds are broken because of drugs, abuse. Their children have been taken from them because they chose drugs instead of motherhood or parenthood. They take better care of their dog than they did their kids. They cuss at me. They love me. What a relationship. But when they come up to me, I shake their hand no matter how dirty it is. I hug their neck no matter how dirty or stinky they are. I tell them they look great today. They say, "Dennis, quit lying." I said, "No, I see you as God sees you. You look great. You're handsome. You're beautiful. You're fantastic." They just walk away shaking their head. But one thing they know is that I love them. 15 years reaching into their life. I love them. One of them is in the VA hospital as we speak with liver cancer. I can't speak his name because he didn't give me permission. But when I met him in the streets, he was a chronic alcoholic. Today, he's sober. When I met him in the streets, he was a drug addict. He told my wife that God could never forgive him for what he did in Vietnam by killing people. Ever. He said he knows he can't be forgiven, so he's going to die as a drug addict and a chronic alcoholic. We loved him and loved him and loved him till the day he gave his heart to the Lord. He carries a sinner's card in his wallet to remind himself every day that Jesus loves him. And he comes by and sees us every once in a while in the mission. Sober, living inside. His sister called me. And said, "Is this Dennis Adams?" And I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Hi, this is And my brother is in the hospital with cancer. They're cutting out part of his liver. Now, you have to understand, this man has drunk horribly vodka and beer since 1976. 77, 78, 79, 80. Just drinking it every day. Till Jesus sent us by. And he got sober. He got saved. But his liver must look like a mess. I called him at the hospital and I said, "Are you doing okay?" He said, I'm feeling better. But don't come and see me yet because I'm tired and I'm worn out. My point being is this. That God is your source, not man. When God sends you into something, he's your source. Your source. A source is that which does not run dry. God never runs out of resourcefulness for your life. He can show up uninvited and unexpected and call you to do something that will take faith in him, not in rules and regulations. He wants a relationship with his children, a relationship so they will not waver or be divided, which could create doubt. Not being weak in faith despite innumerable odds. He wants everyone to be empowered by faith, having an enduring faith in an everlasting, all-powerful God. Yes, an enduring dependence on God's promise, not hesitating, knowing, and believing just what God will do. I want you today to realize how much you mean to God, how much he loves you, and how much you need to put your hope in God. Not in men, not in somebody else, but in God.